In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together. Good morning, guys. How are you? So good to see you and so glad that you're here. Welcome to those of you joining us on live stream, wherever you are in the world. We welcome you. We're glad that you're part of this as well. So, man, this is a great day. We're going to celebrate as we've already started through this service, and there's more to come. But I'm very honored and privileged to be able to stand up here and talk to you as always, and I just and filled with joy that we're able to open God's word together. We're able to figure out, God, what are you saying to us? How do you want us to live? And so I love that we get to do that now. Sometimes the secrets to a fulfilling life are not nearly as complicated as we make them out to be. If you're like me, I kind of search for that secret thing. What's going to propel me further spiritually? What's going to be that, you know, that unknown that suddenly I know and now I'm a different person? The truth is, life is pretty simple, actually. When you understand, it's really just a handful of things, because just below the surface within every human being lies a capacity of enormous power. This power can actually be experienced in the best of circumstances and in the worst of circumstances. It's not dependent on whether or not life is going really well, and so we feel this power, versus whether life is falling apart. No, in any circumstance, this sort of secret to living can be exercised in a powerful way. This power can be experienced by every single one of us. And it's a power, no exaggeration, I chose these words carefully. It's a power that can actually redirect your daily routine. And it can alter the course of your life. It really is that huge. It is the power of gratitude. Being a person who is thankful. Now, we've just experienced another Thanksgiving, and hopefully you had a wonderful celebration, maybe with family, friends, or it makes sense, however, to coming out of that holiday to talk a little bit about gratitude here this weekend. But it also makes sense to talk about gratitude for another reason. This is the final week of our Be Rich series. And so for the entire month of November, and I hope you've been here for at least part of it, for the entire month of November, we've taken a single passage from the New Testament and we've used it as our church's marching orders. It's a powerful and yet simple verse. You've probably heard it. In fact, we've highlighted it every week. If you haven't been here, here it is. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. Paul, writing to young pastor Timothy, says this: command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Now, in this single verse, we find that little phrase, do you see it, be rich, in the upper right-hand corner? That's the title of our series. That's where we get it from. We're encouraging God's word to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and to be willing to share. And so I just want to begin today by thanking you for being rich. Thank you for being rich in good deeds, rich in generosity, and rich in sharing. And we've seen that this month like no other. I mean, we've just pulled out the stops and been focused on getting outside of our walls and doing things, and it's been awesome. Because when our entire church gets mobilized for good causes, the results can be staggering. No exaggeration. I mean, think about it for a minute. A church our size, when we together do something that influences our community or our world, I mean, the results can genuinely be staggering. And we've experienced that for this entire month of November. That's why we're celebrating today. So throughout this series, we've encouraged you to give and to serve and to love and to do so in very practical ways. We've tried to make it as simple as possible. Here are your opportunities. Here are how you can sign up. We tried to remove all the confusion around it. This is what you can do. We invite you to be a part of it. So at the very beginning of this series, the first part of this month, I received several emails just about the excitement about this series. Here was one from one woman who wrote me that very first week. She said, I just wanted to let you know that I'm so excited that we will be participating in Be Rich again this year. I have a heart for service, but am so often overwhelmed by how much need there is and how many organizations need help, and I don't know where to start. You ever feel that way? Like, it's a little overwhelming, isn't it? The need, I mean, it's so staggering. So she writes, when Be Rich was announced and explained last year, I literally sat in my seat and cried happy tears. I couldn't even wait until I got home. I pulled out my phone right there in the church service and signed up for 3 serving opportunities. She continues, thank you so much for doing this again this year. I am so excited. And I know that sentiment is shared by so many of us, the opportunity to do something together, to get outside of our walls and to make a difference with God's help. So maybe you've experienced some exciting serving opportunities. I know I have and our family has. Last week, our staff went to Samaritan's Purse, the Columbia regional office, and there together we packed boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Many of those boxes, you see them stacked out there because you've brought them back here. Our job was to sort through those boxes, to put them in larger boxes that would be shipped to various areas. And I got to tell you, it just felt good to do that. But more than that, it felt good to serve together. It felt good to be a staff together and to do something in community together. I love that opportunity. And last weekend, maybe you were here, you saw that our lobby was decorated with goods from Carry 117 made by the women from Ethiopia. We invited you to purchase those items. And wow, did you ever. Last weekend, you spent $6,600 on that. That's awesome. And that money goes in the pockets of those women to help. And, you know, those of you that bought Christmas gifts, I know we did. And so it's just an exciting opportunity. Somebody was saying to me, hey, you know, why don't we just give them the money? And that's so short-sighted. You know why? Because when you purchase goods made by these women, you instill dignity in them. You remind them that they have a contribution to make and that those things that they've painstakingly made with craftsmanship can be shared with others and purchased by others. So many of you I know have participated in service projects over these last couple of weeks. So just several weeks ago, Trish and I did with our small group, we painted rooms in the Westminster shelter, women's shelter, and just had a fantastic time doing that. I'm not like a very skilled painter, but man, I could do it, you know? So again, what really meant a lot to us was being able to do that with people that we love, to share in that experience of helping someone else and in turn having that sense that we're sharing it in community. By the way, if you've participated in serving but you haven't logged in your hours, I would invite you to go to our website. It's a fascinating number that we want to keep track of. We want to know like how many man hours and woman hours were put into these projects over these last few weeks. It's just a fun part of our celebration. So if you haven't done that, go to our website and log in your work hours. And you might remember in our very first weekend, 3 weeks ago, I invited you to give a financial gift that was over and above your regular giving, to do something extraordinary, and we suggested that that money raised from that those couple of weeks would be given in totality. 100% of that money would be given to support some of our partners. And that's exactly what you did. So in several weeks, get this, okay? In several weeks, you have given over and above your regular giving over $50,000. That is worth celebrating. Glory to God, and thank you for your generosity. So today, it just seemed appropriate to me. We've begun every sermon title in this series with things happen when. Things happen when we give. Things happen when we serve. Things happen when we love. And it just seemed appropriate coming off the Thanksgiving holiday that I talk to you about things happen when we're grateful. Something happens when we become people that are thankful. And I want to start at a single verse that I think represents sort of the premier verse in the Bible on gratitude. It's simple, it's short, and it's powerful. And it's found when Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Here's the simple reminder. It goes like this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now again, if we were to sort of dissect this verse and take it apart using Bible study methods, we discover, first of all, that the phrase give thanks there in the original language is an imperative. It's a command. It's not an option. God is commanding us to be thankful. And that gratitude is to extend in every circumstance, in every single thing, whether good or bad. Now, if you're like me, I'd much prefer to thank God when things are going well for me. You know, when life seems to be, hey, the ducks are lining up pretty good. I'm having a good week. Yeah, I'm feeling really good. Okay, Thanksgiving just sort of exudes from that because I'm grateful that things are going well. But God says, regardless of the circumstances, whether good or bad, we are to thank God. So even in the challenging, like when the heat is on circumstances, we can be people who are grateful to God. Now, those of you that are parents, you know what it's like to hear grateful things from your kids. Why would we think God would be any different? But notice as well, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. You know, if you threw out a subject, hey, what do you want to talk about with any group of people? Many would suggest, hey, I want to discover God's will for my life. It's just a longing inside of so many of us. Can I suggest this is a great starting point? It leaves no doubt. We know that when we're people of gratitude, we are fulfilling the will of God. God likes it when we are grateful. It is part of His will. And especially for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, why wouldn't you live with gratitude? It's such an important idea. So as we thumb through the pages of the scriptures, we discover things not only about glory to God and thanksgiving to God and being grateful people, but we also discover how very important it is to God. For example, in the first chapter of the book of Romans, we're told that there is ample evidence in creation to point to the reality of God. In other words, God has finally woven in to the reality of all that we see pointers that move us toward Him. So that chapter goes on to say, human beings are without excuse, no excuse. But a lot of people don't like to believe in God. And we're told in that very same chapter that they suppress the knowledge of the truth. So what happens when people suppress the knowledge of the truth? That chapter describes people who suppress it. They live in a sort of a self-serving rejection of God. And let's pick up at verse 21 in that chapter that I'm talking about, because we've discovered some fascinating things about how this works. Because although they knew God, they who? The people that suppress the knowledge of the truth. Although they knew God, this isn't like they were Christians. It means they had an awareness of God. They had this kind of sense that, okay, even as children, there's got to be more than this. Maybe there's something beyond this. Maybe all that I see in creation is pointing to an intelligent designer. Although they knew that God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were, what's the word? Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now listen, look at this verse for a minute, because it contains some powerful connectors. For example, there is a connection between suppressing the truth and a darkened heart and a lack of gratitude. So when we are people who are ungrateful or people who lack gratitude, we are actually aligning ourselves with those who suppress the truth, who have darkened and foolish hearts. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to go there. God is reminding us that gratitude, when it springs from our hearts, can be a powerful thing. Truth is, grateful people get God's attention. And ungrateful people get God's attention also, but for different reasons. So how come some people are grateful and some people are not? Like, what happens? What's going on inside of us that would make one person be incredibly grateful? Have you ever been around this kind of person? They're awesome to be around. Sometimes annoying, okay? And have you ever been around a person that's ungrateful? Where does that ingratitude come from? What makes a person ungrateful? What kills gratitude? I'm going to suggest five things, attitudes that kill gratitude. And I want to invite you to try to identify one or more of these that you might be prone toward, okay? Here they are. What kills gratitude? Number one, entitlement. We live in a culture that is steeped in entitlement. We're saturated in a sense of entitlement. Entitlement says, I deserve it. Entitlement says, I expect it. It's just part of our culture. Years ago, Trish and I were dining at this restaurant, and sitting next to us, very close to us at another table, were two women. And the waitress came over to refill their water glasses, and she came to the first one and she filled her water glass to the top, and she came to the other woman around the other side of the table and filled her water glass. But I was watching the whole thing, only about 3/4 full. And the woman whose glass got filled only 3/4 full went ballistic. Like, she lost it. She went off on this young little waitress like, oh my gosh, I was so infuriated. I wanted to go over and just jerk the tablecloth out from under him, but I didn't feel like it wouldn't be Christian-like, okay? So I'm looking at this and I'm going, I was so infuriated thinking, lady, all you had to do was say, can you please give me a little more water? But somehow in her mind, she felt entitled to a full glass of water and was going to let this young girl have it. Just so senseless. Over and over and over again in our world, there are people who are entitled, and it comes out in the craziest of ways. You can't be grateful and be entitled. They just don't go together. Number two, let me tell you what else kills gratitude. Comparison. Man, you talk about an epidemic, especially in our social media culture. Oh my gosh. Comparison kills. Comparison can strangle the life out of gratitude. If we're always looking over the fence at what other people have and what we don't have, there is no way when we become people who embrace comparison that we will also be people of gratitude. Number three, you want to kill gratitude? Complaining. You ever been around a person who just complains all the time? Miserable. Don't look at the person next to you there, you know. In fact, if you look at the Old Testament, what do we find? We find the whole idea of grumbling. Same idea, grumbling. Like, God killed people for doing that. Like, the ground opened up and swallowed people who were complainers. If we're not careful, they can kind of seep toward bitterness, and then we become miserable people. I would suggest for us that complaining is actually a close cousin to unbelief. It positions us not moving toward God, but far from God. What else kills gratitude? Number four, pride. Man, oh man. Pride is so self-sufficient that it needs nothing or thinks it doesn't. In fact, to prideful people, giving a thank you is almost an admission of need. This is how warped pride really is. So if a prideful person says, okay, I have no need, I'm self-sufficient, look at me. So to offer thanksgiving or to offer a thank you or gratitude to someone, to God or to some other person, is saying, I kind of need you. You're giving me something. Well, pride doesn't allow that. Pride is so stinking self-sufficient that it has no room for that. And then finally, what else kills gratitude? This one's tough. A wounded heart. A wounded heart. Some of you sitting here today have deep hurts or trauma or fear or anxieties. You may have been deeply wounded by a parent or a close friend. You might even feel betrayed by God. There may be things that are happening in your life where you just go, God, you know, why? And you're so hurt. And your heart is so wounded. But can I tell you that if you live in that, and if you nurture those hurts, if you embrace the label of being a victim, you will never be a grateful person. Because it's impossible to be a person of gratitude while at the same time sort of nurturing or coddling a wounded heart. No, with God, you can move beyond that. You can discover that even in your woundedness, you can become a person of gratitude. Several years ago, Trish and I were in Morocco, and we traveled with our family to this little village called Chefchaouen. Beautiful, picturesque, everything painted in hues of blue. Just a fantastic little village. And early one morning, I began wandering through the streets, just looking for photo opportunities. And I came across these kids that you see in this photograph. I first met the little girl with the doll. And she was so excited about this doll. And so language barrier, you do the whole hand sign. And I asked her, could I take her photograph? And she was so proud. She was so excited to have me take a few photographs of her holding her doll and all that. And so it was just a touching moment. And so I reached in my pocket, gave her this Moroccan coin that I had, the equivalent of about 24 cents U.S., and she was very grateful and thanked me for it. Well, in any of those kinds of cultures, as soon as you hand out any kind of coin, you find out who they're related to. Because they go and find them. And sure enough, her little sister shows up. And so I reached in my pocket, gave her a coin as well. And not long after that, her brother comes swaggering up. And he's a little more intense, so I'm looking at, I asked them to group together, took this photo of them, and then Trish and I walked away. Well, I guess in our absence, he learned from his sisters that they had been given a little money. And so he's following us through the narrow streets of this little town, hounding us for money. Truth is, literally, I mean, I know we say this sometimes to people, we didn't have any more. They had given it all out. Trish felt so bad about it, she went in this little shop, got change, came back out, gave the little guy the exact coin that we had given to his sisters. He looked at the coin, sneered his face, handed it back to Trisha. And my first thought was, you little brat. In the name of Jesus, of course, I thought that. You little brat. And I verbalized to Trisha just like, what? Why would this kid do that? And she said to me, don't we do the same thing with God? And it was like God just spoke to the core of my being. Now, you need to understand, when God speaks to me, his voice sounds a lot like Trisha's. Just can't escape that. But I came away realizing, like an entitled child, I have places of ingratitude that are alive and well inside of me. They're still there. And so I decided to do a little exercise several years ago to begin a gratitude journal, to just write down in an unsophisticated way the things that I was grateful for. Because I was becoming convinced, even years ago, that there is disproportionate power in gratitude. That gratitude could actually change my life. It could help me become a different kind of person. And so as I began to write some of those down, here are some excerpts from multiple days out of that journal. God, I thank you for the most incredible family I could have ever imagined, I wrote. Your plans for my good. I thank you for the clarity of your word. I thank you for a good night's sleep. I thank you for a great childhood, a wife who's a partner in ministry. I thank you for health, for the joy of learning, for the family called Life Point Church, for our staff team. God, I thank you for your love, for your acceptance, for your power, for your presence. Again, not complicated. Just little thoughts. As they bubble up, because all around us, there's you can drill down really deep or you can hit the surface. There are all kinds of things that we can be grateful for. Remember the verse? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Put another way, gratitude is a game changer. It unleashes disproportionate life-giving power. Think about it for a minute. A simple heartfelt thank you puts in motion something inside of us that literally changes the person we are. It's that powerful. It's that big. See, when God commands us to be grateful, He's not just like a parent standing there to a little kid. Okay, what do you say? That's how we all learn, right? What do you say? There's nothing wrong with that. But many of us view God that way, saying, okay, God, I'll be grateful. God's not standing over us, kind of, you know, shaking His finger, going, what do you say? No, God knows that when we are grateful people, we change for the better. Something happens inside of us that makes us better people. He's not trying to make us miserable. He's trying to make us mature. He's trying to grow us up. See, the truth is, psychological studies have consistently shown that gratitude actually rewires our brains for good. That's how it works. In fact, one study in 2012 found that higher levels of gratitude were associated with better sleep, with lower anxiety, with less depression. Feelings of gratitude actually activate regions in our brains that are associated with the neurotransmitter dopamine. So it actually feels good to be grateful. And when we're thankful, we are literally reprogramming the circuitry in our brains. That's how big it is. We're carving the new neuropathways that make us different people. Gratitude can change the way you and I live. So let me ask you, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? The list could be long. Your family, your job, health, friends, place to live, clothes, food, a car, medicine, freedom, purpose in life, a connection with God, on and on and on. We all have a list, whether we realize it or not. Hopefully you could name at least a few things. But if we really put thought into it, if we really make it a lifestyle, a way of expressing to God our joy and adoration of Him, then the list never stops. It never ceases. Maybe you revisited your list just a few days ago at Thanksgiving. It gives us a good excuse to do that. I think there are few sermon subjects that leave themselves open to such immediate application as does the subject of gratitude. I want to invite you to open your worship program that you were given when you came in today. And inside there, you'll find a little card. Looks like the card on the screen there. If you didn't get a worship program, our ushers have extra cards. They have pens if you need that. And I want to invite you to participate in a gratitude exercise. On one side of the card, you'll find the words, "I'm grateful for," and then some blank space left for you to write. I want to invite you to take just a minute or two and write down on this card what you're grateful for. And when you complete that, our team's going to lead us in a song here. You write down, "I'm grateful for," and whatever is on your list. And during this next song, I want to invite you to get out of your seats and to come forward and to lay that card on the apron of our stage. Already in our previous two services, folks have come forward and sort of populated the apron of the stage with their cards. It's a beautiful act of worship. It's a beautiful reminder that we need God, that He's inviting us to be grateful people. God is honored when we're thankful. So this is an act of worship. But it's an act of worship that not only gives God glory, but it does something inside of us too. Let me leave you with this final thought from Psalm 69, verse 30. The psalmist writes, "I will magnify God with thanksgiving." The word "magnify" there means to glorify or to honor. And as we do that, what we're doing as we come forward is we are magnifying God. We are honoring God. We are admitting to ourselves our need. We're saying, "God, I want to be this kind of person." We're honoring God with our gratitude. So let me pray for us as we participate together. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Your generosity knows no bounds. We thank you for your invitation to come and join you in life, and we thank you that you have given us the ability to choose gratitude. Help us to be people who overflow with a spirit of thankfulness. You tell us it changes us. Something happens. And we look forward to experiencing that in increased measure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.